Broadcasting live from an Airstream somewhere in Tornado Alley, bringing you the people, places, and stories from the Panhandle to the Red River. This is your Only in Oklahoma show.
And welcome to the show. Today, we're headed into the dungeon. Literally, figuratively, I'm going to get my level 3 ass handed to me by Michael Cross and company. That's right. We're talking to Michael Cross over at Red Dirt D&D. I'm Brett.
And I'm Harley. And I thought you said, I thought you were going to say we're traveling into Mordor.
Well, into the eye. Well, none shall pass. I will probably use a lot of my canon references to Middle Earth. But I know you told me, Brett, you're overthinking this a little bit. I don't know if you know me, but I overthink most things. I feel like I'm a little bit out of my depth of field with the D&D conversations.
Yeah, but we're going to get to it. I mean, as far as the interview goes, yeah, we're going to get to this stuff. Uh-huh. But it's not just a game.
The game is afoot.
No, it's not a game. It's a story. And there's some mechanics behind the story, but they're really good storytellers.
What I like about what they have to offer, and again, we'll get to it, is it's kind of radio opera. In a sense, you don't really get the sense that they're actually playing. I kind of feel like my imagination kind of goes with.
Right. And that's
the point.
I think that's kind of the point of what they're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as the game mechanics and all that sort of stuff, I don't think you need to know any of it. Does it help a little bit? Does it kind of give you some behind the scenes? Maybe. But they're good storytellers. The guys and gals over at Red Dirt D&D. But we'll get to the interview in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I think it's so cool. And I, you know, again, we could go on and on about why I never played it. And most of it was because I was Catholic. I'm really looking forward to the interview coming up.
And we'll get to that. And we'll get to that interview right after this.
Everything's kind of getting a late start. I feel like school's getting started later, but sports are still happening. I'm seeing team sports everywhere. Footballers, basketballers, all kinds of stuff going on, and new uniforms. I'm hearing fundraisers are already happening right now for new uniforms. I'm already buying sausage right now. You've never bought the blue and gold sausage for the basketball jerseys?
If somebody comes up to me and says, "Hey, would you like to support our?" And if they say or lean towards, mm-hmm, or if I see a picture of, yeah, anything blue and gold, I'm like, yeah.
The sausage is the bomb. I'm sorry. Blue and gold sausage, if you're not buying it, I don't care if it's for basketball jerseys or not. You're doing yourself a disservice. But Master Threads is the place. They don't give you sausage, but they will give you a hell of a basketball jersey.
This ad is so off the rails.
It's off the rails, but it's true.
Seriously, if you need new uniforms and you're out there hustling.
Sausage for softball. Right?
If you're out there hustling your blue and gold team to get some money to raise for your t-shirts or your uniforms for, mm-hmm, your team, reach out to Master Threads.
Absolutely.
They'll get you a smoking good deal and maybe save you a little bit of hustling the old blue and gold.
If you want, you can call them right now for a free quote. 405-673-3787. That's 405-673-3787.
Or you can hit up their website. It's masterthreads.us.
Master Threads. All right. Well, today joining us is the host of the Okie Geek podcast and current paladin and host of a newer podcast called Red Dirt D&D. It's Michael Cross. Michael, welcome back.
Oh, it's so good to be here, guys. How are you doing today?
We're doing great.
We are doing fabulous.
Admittedly, you know, him and I are both kids of the 80s. D&D, very taboo. We just talked about the made-for-TV movie with Tom Hanks from 1982,
Magic
and Mazes, when it was basically,
mysteries, yeah,
right, it was the Satanic Panic,
yes,
Devil's Lettuce
version of, yeah, that Tom Hanks was the one who was starring, and they basically what's kicked off the whole Satanic Panic thing.
Right.
Like, oh, everyone loves Tom Hanks, like, dude. Those of us who love Dungeons and Dragons, we kind of have a little, we love Tom Hanks.
Right.
We have a little bit of beef with one of his first shows.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
But well, that, right after Bosom Buddies, he, yeah, went and ruined D&D for everybody.
Well, and I bring that up because Harley and I are on two different ends of the spectrum. I was raised Catholic, and I was a TBN generation, so it was the devil. You know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were Satan. So all the things I loved were bad for me, but I seemed to stay away from two things, Slayer and Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, I stayed away from Slayer, but for totally different reasons.
I went with my cousin once who went to go play D&D. He's like, hey, you want to come inside? I'm like, I don't know anything about it. I stayed outside for 3 hours in the summer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I admittedly know very little about it. So this is going to be kind of a lesson for me as well.
And I'm on the other end of the spectrum. I love D&D. And Brett actually loves D&D. He just knows it as Skyrim or whatever video game it is.
Right. Or online dating. Yeah.
That's the problem. You just got to know what it is. And the 80s were a great time for playing D&D. I loved playing D&D in the 80s. If you've ever seen Stranger Things, I was one of those kids who played D&D in my parents' basement. Well, we didn't have basements. It's Oklahoma. We don't have basements.
Yeah.
But we played D&D all the time. And I stopped playing in the late 80s when what was called Second Edition came out. Then about 3 years ago, almost exactly 3 years ago, I thought, well, I want to try it again. And this time I now have a son who at that time was 11 years old. I said, how about we go? There's a gaming thing going on. We'll learn how to play this fifth edition D&D. And he and I just fell in love with it. He now is a dungeon master. He DMs a group that I'm in on Saturday nights. It's become a new big thing. I think it's a lot more accessible to people. So now it's having its renaissance. Anyway, so the funny thing is you mentioned the Satanic Panic. Yeah. My wife, she believed that the whole Satanic Panic thing was going on in Dungeons and Dragons. Well, my son and I were playing every Friday night, and she flat out refused to have anything with Dungeons and Dragons, but then realized she couldn't hang out with her two boys on Friday night. So she goes, well, I guess I'll go see what this thing's all about. She's now playing with us on Friday night. It has been for about 2 years. So when I told all her friends who played D&D back in the 80s at her reunion, they all looked at me like I had just awoken a dragon. They could not believe that I got Kimberly to actually play Dungeons and Dragons. And yet I did, because it's a fun game. If you don't know what it is, it's fantasy. And if you've seen Lord of the Rings, then you have a really good idea of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's elves, it's dwarves, it's goblins, it's orcs. And it's humans and swords and sorcery. It's just a lot of fun. It's pretend, and you sit around a table with a bunch of friends. There's a person called the Dungeon Master. He has either created a story or has a story ready to go that he sends the adventurers on. And each adventurer decides what they want to do, what kind of character, what they want to play, whether it's a fighter or a magic user or a cleric. Or a thief. They decide what they're going to play, and then they decide what they're going to do. And everybody cooperates. It's a cooperative game. It's not the DM against the players. It's everybody at a table trying to solve how to get through the game, how to finish usually what that evening's game. Can run from 4 hours to 4 years, the games.
Or 25, right, Harley?
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a friend online who's been playing the same Greyhawk adventure for I think 30 years.
Jeez.
And it's just about, you know, certainly there's new characters that come in, there's new scenarios, but he's just had friends who they've stuck together for 30 years. And it's just that much fun because not just because it's a game, but it's a cooperative game that everybody is sitting at the table doing. It's that companionship. And I think that's what my wife fell in love with, was that you're not just playing Monopoly. Someone's got to win. Someone's got to lose. You are playing a game together, and you get together every Friday night and you just play pretend, and you celebrate when you get a good roll on your dice. You commiserate with the person when they get a bad roll on the dice. But either way, it's something that can never be repeated. Even the exact same game, there's modules, which are the exact same setup every time. But because there's new people, there's a new dungeon master, it's always going to be different. And it's always unique to that table. And I have so many friends who say, well, they'll tell stories about, oh, well, I remember once when I was going to this dungeon, and they'll have these stories because it was an experience, just as much of an experience as you would have had if you were doing it in real life. So that's why I love Dungeons & Dragons. I think it's fantastic.
I really love the storytelling aspect of Dungeons & Dragons, or role-playing in general. It's a combined story. All the people involved are telling a story together. And that's one of the things that I really that stood out for me on your new podcast right off the bat was, right. Oh, wow, this is a novel.
Right. It's a telenovela, basically. Yeah.
It really is. And it's Red Dirt D&D. And back in the pre-COVID, remember that?
Oh, February? Yeah. Remember back way back when? Yeah.
Yeah. I have a dear friend, Ash King, and Ash is a really good dungeon master and really loved every time that we've worked together and we've played together. It's been really fun. So I said, well, how about, because a big thing not only is playing Dungeons & Dragons, but a big thing right now is Dungeons & Dragons podcasts. And I think that's mostly because of a show called Critical Role, which is on YouTube and has got quite a following. And it's just nerdy voice actors playing Dungeons and Dragons. And so it's really taken off. A lot of people are doing their different Dungeons and Dragons. Sometimes they're set in they've got modules, adventures that are pre-made. Sometimes they're making up their own worlds, what we call homebrew. And so Ash and I thought, well, what if we could do something that was truly Oklahoman? And we wanted to make Dungeons and Dragons set in the Wild West. And Ash put together a whole system. The whole world is made for we have saloons and sheriffs and guns, but it still works off of the fifth edition format. We still have orcs, we still have goblins, we still have elves, we still have dwarves, but it's just, we wanted to go more Americana with it, which I don't think anybody else is doing. When we started to put this together, and then COVID hit, we were going to have our auditions in March, and so much for that. So we ended up having to push that back, and finally in June, we had auditions, and we had we brought along Brooke Bullock, Kiri Hester, and Johnny Payne, and they joined us. And once it started to get recorded, we realized that we wanted to even take this even further. What most role play, what most podcasting Dungeons and Dragons shows have is they just switch on a mic.
Right.
And four people, five people sit around a table and they just talk. They just play D&D, which is fine. But we wanted to make this more of a radio show.
Right.
We wanted people to come in and go, this has music. It has sound effects. And so, again, my wife got in touch with an old ex-boyfriend of hers he's a professor in Texas, but on the side, he does music. And his name's Jeffrey McBride. And I said, we're doing an Americana D&D type of thing, of Wild West fantasy. It has a term. It's called Weird West.
Mm.
And there's actually a genre out there for novels. And it's kind of a mashup of D&D and steampunk and Wild West. And he started putting some music together, and immediately I just fell in love with his music. So we've got that in the show, thanks to a website called tabletopaudio.com. They have incredible sound effects. And so, and we're patron members of them, so that we can get access to the sound effects. And I just started putting this together. And once I got through the first one, the pilot, which our pilot episode was just going to be us basically sitting around talking. But Ash started going off on, you know, taking us through the adventure, through kind of a pre-adventure in a town called Venturis, to where we were going to start. And we realized we had about an hour and a half worth of tape that I could easily edit, put in sound effects, and we just launched that as our pilot. And every time we put out something new, people are thrilled by the fact that it, again, it sounds like a radio show. And I've had people say, well, who's writing the script for this? Well, no one's writing the script. The beauty of it is completely improvised. Ash puts together an outline is what you'd call it. But after the outline, then it's just up to us to build the world around us. And so it feels like a radio show, but it is completely improvised, and things could have gone totally different. And we've now put out 8 episodes, not including the pilot. Things could have gone totally different. Had a role been different, had we decided to go one way or another. So the great thing about it is it could have been totally different, but it's totally original and totally unique, I think.
You know, and that's, I was telling Harley, when I listened to the pilot first, obviously, I mean, I like to start in order. Yes. And I thought to myself, it's funny you said, it almost sound like there's a script to it. And then I realized that you are rolling dice, and it's not just, I was engaged by because I'm a struggling voice actor. So I love to hear people do different voices and do things like that. So when I was kind of listening to you guys go around the table, virtual table, I guess, if you will, or maybe, I don't know where you guys are, but, and I was just engaged by that the storytelling. And then I realized, oh, hell, they're keeping score. Okay. So this is, this is not only a game. This is a freaking game changer right here, Michael. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this.
That's awesome. And yeah, we actually do it in, at KOSU. And that was the other reason there are some podcasts, D&D podcasts, where they're doing it online through Zoom or through Discord, which is another social media app. And we do our Friday night, our Saturday night games are now through Discord because we can't meet in person right now because of COVID. But this we didn't want to do over Skype or Zoom or Discord or whatever, because there's something about being in person. And so that's why we waited a little bit. Once the state kind of reopened, we went ahead and we do it at KOSU. Tables are 6 feet apart. So we are kind of screaming at each other across the room, at studios in Oklahoma City at KOSU, but you just can't do it if it's not in person. And so we once a month we meet and we record 4 1-hour shows. After editing, it comes down to about 40 minutes. The great thing I love about it is that's typical drive time.
Yeah.
Most people drive, they say 20 to 25 minutes, one way. And so the goal of this, and again, Ash and I want, really, this is where we wanted to go, was making sure that a person could get the feed through their podcast, whichever way they're getting their podcast, through Apple, Google, Stitcher, whatever. But they could then download it in the morning, listen to it on the drive home, drive to work, listen to it on the way home, and they're done. I mentioned Critical Role earlier, and their podcasts are 3.5 to 4 hours per week.
Wow.
So it takes a while to listen to them. And we wanted something short and something easy. And I think people have really appreciated the fact that they can get through an entire show. I know my wife does. She listens to it in the mornings while she's getting ready to go teach. She just listens to it in the time that she's doing, making breakfast, getting ready. Most people have 40 minutes to listen to something in mm-hmm. one day. They right. usually don't have 4 hours.
Well, and from the standpoint of it being the other way, if you were doing 4 hour shows, the amount of editing and post recording time involved in doing a 4 hour show would just be unwieldy. It would be impossible to put out that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and they put the Critical Role. They do theirs live on Twitter, on Twitch. So all they do is they take that live show that they put on Twitch, throw it out on YouTube, throw it out on podcast, and they don't edit it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And for us, yeah, we've now the 4 hour shows that we have, each hour of editing takes me, I think I calculated about 8 hours wow. total to edit that 1 hour piece, to make sure the sound is all good. Mark Coffin is our sound engineer, but you're going to have these times when it just doesn't get. Kiri is sometimes, who plays Poppy, she is sometimes a little quieter, especially when you start to really role play, really act, you can sometimes bring your voice down a little bit too much. And so I might have to boost hers up. I might get a little loud because I do. So I might be way too heavy. And so to kind of balance us out, I try to take out a lot of the, as you mentioned, the ums, the uhs, just because it sounds better.
Right.
And then I'll go through and I will pick Jeffrey's music, or sometimes there's going to be music on tabletopaudio.com that I'll pick. It just kind of depends, but I'll listen through it and say, well, does this fit for really what I'm going for? Because if it's just people talking, you don't get the feeling unless you've got some music behind it. That's why,
right.
That's why we love listening to the Star Wars music, the
Dark Knight, all those things that yeah. music brings this, it brings a, it, every music is such a integral part to an adventure. Think of Lord of the Rings and that, that sweeping scale of symphony as they're going through Mordor. You're right there with them. You know what I mean? So yeah,
as they're walking across Middle Earth, it would just be them walking,
right?
Without the dun 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 dun, you would just be going, oh look, they're walking. But you've got that heroic music to go, oh yes, I'm there with them. And that's what I try to do. Also, I try to put music. I don't have it all with music because I want there to be. There's all when they're out in the town. I want to have some. Sound effects of people in town when they're on the train. I want some sound effects of people walking around the train. So I don't always have music. And also that I think makes it a little better because then when it comes in, you go, oh, something's happening. I'm supposed to be feeling something. That's what the listener does. So hopefully it brings them into the story. They get to feel like they're invested in the show.
So, Michael, you know, we talked briefly earlier about how D&D games can last. It's choose your own destiny means it could be 25 years, it could be 20 minutes. Are there plans for the show where it just we're going to continue with the same characters? Are you thinking season one, season two? What do we expect there? Is it going to be just a standard D&D game for all to hear?
I think for right now it's going to be we're just going to go with these characters for a while. We have talked about doing some extra things like, we were supposed to go live at TokenCon this year. We'd already made a deal with them that we were going to go live there, but then COVID. So that got canceled. So, and not through anyone's fault. We cannot have the gatherings that we've had before. So we've talked about when we do go live to a convention. When we do, we're thinking about raising money for an organization called Extra Life, which raises money for the Oklahoma Children's Miracle Network. When we do something like that, we might have new characters, or we might take these characters and change them up a bit. So there's some possibilities there for like bonus episodes. As far as past this one, once we go into past season one, I don't think we've planned that far, although we're already getting quite a following. And so all we'd really thought was we'll just give this a try and see if it works. If people like it, who knows? But so I right now I would love to go, get these characters all the way up to level 20, which is the maximum that you can go, and maybe come up with new characters. Cause this world that Ash created is huge. It's the continent of Rutoya. It's the Caliban frontier. We could go anywhere. And because it's still an unknown area, just like the pioneers in early Americana had no idea what was out there. And probably if they knew there were bugbears and dragons, they might not have gone out there. But the idea is that you don't know. And so these characters they're going out into something that's never been explored before by at least the people of the West, although there are wild elves out there, there are humanoid type creatures out there, humanoid sentient beings out there. We would be the first ones to be going out there, and what's called, what we're doing is mapping the Caliban frontier.
Well, I did notice in the first episode that you put Brett and I in there when the orcs were handing out the flyers for the rodeo. I didn't hear the names called out, but I feel like that was an homage to us, so I appreciate that.
That's right. We had an appearance, just in case.
Well,
the other thing is we really tried to take it away from, typically in D&D, and right now D&D is having a little bit of an issue with the racial issues with the orcs, for example. We don't do that. For us, the orcs are just as, in certain parts, just as civilized as everywhere else. In fact, we depend in the Caliban Frontier. We depend on them for meat. For I mean, they raise they're the cattle ranchers of the area. It's fun to kind of basically show, like you would have gone to an old Wild West show back in the 1800s that would come to New York City, the Wild Bill Circus. Mm. And so that was kind of the idea, and we absolutely loved. And again, that was just supposed to be a throwaway episode. We were just practicing, and it gelled with all five of us.
Well, it's really. I know you wanted to say something, Harley, but to be fair, our podcasts started as throwaway episodes, and here we are 5 years later. So
yeah,
every episode has the opportunity to be a throwaway episode.
I just started Okie Geek so that I could just yell and moan about bad. Marvel movies. Not necessarily bad Marvel, but I just wanted to be able to talk about geeky stuff that I loved.
Exactly.
I just grabbed some friends, threw on a mic, and started. So if there's anyone out there who wants to start a podcast, boy, just grab some friends, grab a mic, and it's just that easy. Oh. Now, if you're going to do editing and that kind of stuff, it takes that's a lot of effort. I don't edit Okie Geek podcasts. So when I sat down to edit, now, I do edit. I mean, I work for KOSU, so I edit all the time.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a stranger to me, but it was a stranger to me editing something of this length, and especially something that was kind of becoming my baby, as it were. And so when it goes out every Wednesday, we put out a brand new episode. When it goes out again, it's just I'm like sending my child out into the world, like that I just nurtured and created for. It's almost scary to know that it's out there and there's nothing I can do about it. Although I now understand where George Lucas comes from, because I'll be listening to it on the way to work. And I could change that to make it a little better. So I now know where George Lucas would go. Oh yeah, I should just change that. Yeah.
Right. With episodes 1 through 3. But anyway, go ahead.
Yes.
I know a lot of people that are involved with D&D. The default is always to go towards, the semi-British sounding characters. Yes. And obviously, it's set in the Wild West or mm-hmm. some semblance thereof. So everybody's got kind of a Southern drawl, which is completely different for the storyline. But my real question, my underlying question is, how did you find the voice actors / players? And are they players or are they voice actors? Or are they just some sort of weird combination?
That's where I answer yes. They are all of those. We had an audition. They came in. We Ash and I asked them to make characters for, and we explained to them. You mentioned about the European or English. Again, that goes back to J.R.R. Tolkien. And I grew up on J.R.R. Tolkien. I loved Lord of the Rings. My father read it to me, I think, when I was like 6, 7 years old. And I've read the entire series probably about 6 times in my life. So I love it. But because of that, and because of Game of Thrones and so many other fantasy type systems, they're very European and especially very British. So almost every time someone does a character, they use basically a very Eurocentric model to their game. And that's why we wanted to go with, why don't we pull it away from England and set it in America, and not actually obviously America officially, but we wanted to get that Americana feel. And so we explained that to 11 people total auditioned, and each one came in. Kiri Hester brought in her character of Poppy Tealeaf, a halfling, and immediately talked with that Southern drawl. And she was just the most absolutely adorable halfling I'd ever heard in my life. And so we were like, that's amazing. And so Johnny Payne had this, again, brought in for Zonimus, this rogue, a backwoods rogue that you would hear just coming off of having robbed the stagecoach, right, going into town. And Brooke Bullock, who plays Macron, actually came in. His dwarf, Macron, who was a sorcerer, he actually had a Russian accent. But what was hilarious was every time he went from speaking in what we call common, which is what everyone talks, to his dwarven accent, which was straight, just a straight normal accent. And we just thought that was absolutely hilarious. And so he still uses that, although he's gone now to more of a southern gruff voice. Still, every time he does Dwarven, it's in this normal everyday voice that you wouldn't think comes from a dwarf. And so we immediately snatched them up because we just thought they were amazing. All three of them have acting experience. All three of them have D&D experience. And that doesn't, I don't see that very often in our podcasts either. I see either, again, if I look at Critical Role, where it's actors who now they're very good at playing Dungeons and Dragons after playing for 5 years. But at the time, there was only a few of them that actually knew how to play Dungeons and Dragons. We wanted to come in with this with everybody really knowing the rules, not only about Dungeons and Dragons, but also knowing the rules of improvisation. And so that's what we were looking for. And these three hit the nail on the head. It was perfect. And we couldn't have asked for a better cast. And that's why I think when we did the pilot episode that it clicked. And every time we meet, it just gets better and better. So much so that when we go through our, you know, 3-4 week hiatus between sessions, we're on Discord chatting with each other. We're chatting with each other on, because you become friends with these people, and usually you're used to playing once a week in a game. And the fact that we can only meet once a month is kind of sad. But if we met once a week and recorded 4 hours, I'd have way too much to do. So it's probably best this way.
Absolutely. No, that makes perfect sense. So as far as, is it Kiri? Kiri Hester.
And actually, does anyone remember, do you guys ever watch Beastmaster?
Yes.
Remember the woman played by Tanya Roberts?
Vaguely. It's been a while since I've seen Beastmaster.
It'd been for me, too, because I didn't immediately catch it. She said that's who she's named after. She's named after, her character's name is Kiri in that.
That's
and
awesome.
I said, and so my wife had immediately had to come home and find it on Amazon Prime. And I was like, I love this movie. Mark Singer is fabulous. Yes. Kiri Hester. Yeah, that's who plays Poppy, too.
Yeah, she's great. I'm just really in love with the story. I'm just going to have to say, as far as the story goes, I know people like to receive their stories differently. I hope somebody turns it into a graphic novel or something so that it catches in a different form. But it's a great story, and it's really funny. Without being slapstick or...
Right.
I don't know the best way to put it, but it's genuinely, you guys have a genuine chemistry that comes across as a good story, but it's also got, it's got a real comedic value in it.
Well, and I think that helps. We are trying to be, I don't want to say dramatic about it, because we're not trying to be dramatic. We're trying to tell a serious story. And so look at every great piece of literature. Every great piece of literature, if it's trying to tell a serious story, it's going to have some funny bits in it. Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet has some hilarious moments in it. And at the end, two kids die. So, but it's got some really funny moments in it. And I think that's what we try to bring in it. We're trying to be as serious as we can about the content. There's a lot of podcasts out there who aren't. To them, it's all it's to poke fun at. It's to be joked about. We wanted to tell this in a serious story, which means it's going to have the humor. And a great example is a recent episode. Kiri plays a druid, and druids have the ability to wild shape. So she turned into a snake for the very first time, and everybody freaked out, including Poppy, who had no idea that she could do this. So, you know, it's, and we played with that. We had fun with that because it's hilarious, and you've got to be able to laugh. Just as you do in real life, you've got to be able to laugh at some of the things that are going on. So, I'm glad that it's funny, because it should be. It should be a fun experience from laughter to, hopefully there's going to be some moments where you're a little nervous. You're a little worried about the characters. There are some dramatic moments, I think, in the show. It's just storytelling. And when I'm editing, especially when I'm now, Ash has again put this whole world together. So that it's already got a really good story beats. We're following along to those. And then when I edited it, I tried to make it as sound as narratively well put together as possible.
Are the we always talk about, or I've talked to people about the storytellers, you know, the people that are telling the stories, we're getting older, and the younger people are missing the message, and they're too plugged in and not turned on enough. As far as the audiences go, the people that you're interacting with, are the D&D players evolving, or are we devolving, or is it as strong? Because you see people in Hollywood, like Joe Mangiello's got one of the biggest D&D groups there is. If you looked at the guy, you wouldn't think it, but he makes you sign in blood to join his group. Is it something that's still going pretty strong?
Very strong. And you've also got Vin Diesel.
Yeah, Vin Diesel.
Plays Dungeons & Dragons. Stephen Colbert.
Right.
Plays Dungeons & Dragons. It is in its renaissance.
Right.
And I don't see it waning soon. Things come and go. Who knows?
But you think COVID, you think the COVID and everybody kind of trying to find some things to do, shelter in place, that is helping the cause, or?
Yes. Well, and again, we are so blessed to be, not blessed to be in a time of COVID,
right,
but blessed in this modern age to where, you know, 15 years ago, had this happened, there's no Zoom, there's no Discord, there's no right. Twitter, there's barely any Facebook. You don't contact with people, but thankfully, again, we're blessed to be in a time where we actually can still be with friends and family, even though it's over the web. I can still be with my D&D groups on Fridays and Saturday nights, and I can talk to people, and we can have our meetings, and we can do these things, which would have been impossible just 15 years ago. And right now, I think D&D is having a renaissance because people are, I think, podcasting Dungeons and Dragons a little bit more. They're learning about it a little bit more. There's Facebook groups. There's so much social media out there on it that people realize they can still sit down with a group of people, even if it is virtually. And we all simply pray for the day when we all return back to our tables, because it is a tabletop game. So as much as I've enjoyed the fact that I could do Discord, it is a game that is meant to be played around a table. And without that, you can still have the experience. You can still go through the dungeons. You can still be with your friends
right.
virtually, but it's just not the same. And it's not the same, especially for, we'd go to Edmund Unplugged, which is one of the gaming stores up in Edmund. And we can't go because
right.
we just can't be right across the table from somebody right,
right
now. You just don't know. And it's just so scary. And I feel for our gaming companies. I mean, our game shops, one of them mm-hmm. up here, I know it's already closed.
Right.
Because of this, because you just can't get people in the doors. Mike Ship is taking care of Edmund Unplugged. I believe it will withstand this. So, and when it does, we will all be back immediately at that table.
Well, you remember when Hastings was open, Friday nights was magic. They had tables set up everywhere towards the back. Mm-hmm. But it makes me think about, I've loved video games since my Atari 7800 and earlier. But mm-hmm. when video games, there was this sense of excitement when online came on. Oh, we can play with people around the world. But I remember before that when friends came over.
Yeah.
You know, you went to the friend's house with the Super Nintendo. You went to rent the games and you did the things. And now with online gaming, there's that point of contact is gone. That's mm-hmm. what I like about what you are doing and what games like this that I've clearly been under a rock. How it helps you. You can be yourself, and you can be yourself with people that are like-minded individuals, not some 12-year-old in New York City that calls you every name in the book.
Yeah.
And I've been there.
Yes.
But yeah, I like there's a thrill when you see people playing Magic or Yu-Gi-Oh or Pokemon. There's a passion that I don't think you really see that much in anything else, because there's such imagination involved.
Yeah. And board games, tabletop games, had already been just growing so much before COVID, because people, and that was the whole idea behind video games. Well, people are going to play video games. They're going to be online. Their kids are just going to be sitting there in front of television. They'll never leave. I think that could only go so far. Eventually, people went, yeah, I like playing video games. Sure, I'll throw in Zelda, then play that. That's fine. But there was only so far people could go. Eventually, they realized, I can't just do that. I have to get out. And so board games had also been making a comeback. Fortunately, I think board games are selling like crazy right now, too. Of course, they're just in household families. But I think Amazon said they had their best year of board games and puzzles than they'd ever had before. So, you know, people are still playing the games. They're playing them physically. Maybe they can't do it with friends. They can do it with family. Although there's actually websites now where I could pull out the game, pull up the website, and I could play with some, with a friend of mine that might be, you know, down in south side of Oklahoma City. They're playing with their board game, or it's on the screen, and we're playing the board game virtually. So again, blessed to be in a time where we can do that.
Absolutely. But at the same time, D&D is one of those things where you really, to get the full effect, you've got to be in the room and you've got to be hopped up on Doritos and Funyuns and Mountain Dew.
So much Jolt Cola.
Exactly. So I'm glad that you guys are able to do it in person. I don't think it would be the same show if you weren't doing it in person. I'm super stoked that you waited. I know that's not what you wanted to do, but I'm super stoked that you guys waited. I feel like it's really had a huge impact on the story.
Thank you. Yeah, the wait was worth it.
Absolutely. So as far as the podcast goes, you're available in audio podcast on all of the standard platforms. Do you have any out-of-the-way ways to access the show? Do you do any sort of live feed? Or is it up on YouTube, that sort of stuff?
We haven't done YouTube yet. I get mixed signals on YouTube. I would love to do YouTube, but every time I think about, well, it's, you know, how would, because it would have to be basically a still photo with the audio underneath. And every time I go out, there's people say, hey, just go for it. You never know what's going to happen. Then I go to another website and say, oh, don't do it. It's awful. People know, no one wants to watch that. So it's been mixed. At some point, I think we might do something. What I'd love to do is if we've got some kind of artist who could do at least still pictures of scenes, we might do something like that. We don't do anything live right now. Again, we will be. Eventually, we want to do some conventions. We want to do maybe a Discord or a Twitch live event, possibly, hopefully, in October or early November. But for the most part, we're just available through podcast form. Although, company we're going through right now has just, I guess, opened up to Amazon and possibly Audible, that you might be able to get the stories through Amazon Music. I know that. Possibly Audible, which, because I think Amazon owns Audible. So you might be able to actually get the podcast through Audible. But for the most part, you know, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. That's the word I was trying to look for earlier. Your typical way of getting your podcast. That's the best way to find us. And if you have any trouble, just hit us up at reddirtdnd.com. Hit me up on Facebook. Hit me up on Twitter and say, I have no idea how to get a podcast. I'll walk you through it. because there are people, you know, I was talking to someone else the other day that, you know, you and I are on podcasts and we know what podcasts are. We've been doing it for about 5 years. I think you said 5 years. And I think, my gosh, it has been 5 years for Okie Geek Podcast. Yeah. So we know what it is. And most people, I was talking to another person who's like, we don't realize that most people, they know what a podcast, or they've heard the word podcast, but they don't necessarily know where to get one. They don't know how to download anything about it. And the worst thing is they don't even know it's free, because you say, hey, subscribe to us. And when you think of subscribe, you're thinking of Netflix or Amazon Prime or HBO Max, Disney Plus, you think subscribe. Most people don't realize that podcasts are totally free. And so we're trying to also educate people that, hey, you just get your podcast server, however you want to do it, download us, subscribe to it, and it is totally free. Every Wednesday, you get a brand new episode. It doesn't cost you anything to just enjoy some great entertainment.
You know, it's so free, Michael, we don't even do it for a living.
I know.
Well, you know?
I was like, you know, I've had people go, well, what do you want to do with this? Do you want to like, you know, be, you know, do you want to make some money off of it? Like, okay, if I make a couple bucks, sure. But we've got one sponsor, which is Pro Laser Cuts. We don't pay them. They don't pay us. It's a trade situation because they needed some advertising. We needed some, you know, they do dice towers. They do miniature figures. They do little tokens and they sell things like that online. And so that works perfectly for us. And so we have a giveaway for our first 20 patrons. Once we hit 20, we're going to do a roll of the 20-sided dice to pick one to get this dice tower made by Pro Laser Cuts. We are all doing this just because we love it.
Well, if are you guys going to be auditioning for any new characters? I might know one or two around the realm.
Well,
you
know, we had talked about having guest characters on, and we would love to do that. Right now, we can't, again, because of the COVID thing. We've got six people in our performance space at KOSU. Six, of course, with Mark Coffin running our soundboard. And we are so spread out that we could never add another person. But we do definitely want to add definitely some guest actors coming in, some guest characters coming in. We definitely want to grow with that. Just it's got to happen at a time where we can all feel comfortable being in the same room. I know some other D&D podcasters that are doing it online. Certainly bringing in a guest person, if you're doing it online, is easy because that's just another box in the computer screen. But right now, just having six people in the studio is as far as we want to go right now. But yes, we do eventually want to bring in more characters. So,
Michael, as far as, you know, if people are ready to wander off into the Caliban frontier, what's the best way for them to find the show? What's the web address for the show itself?
You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Red Dirt D&D, which we were surprised that was actually, that's the N word, the letter N, not the ampersand. Red Dirt D&D on Facebook and Twitter. You can find us at reddirtdnd.com to find our show. However you're getting your podcast, and again, whether that's Spotify, Stitcher, most people, I think the majority, and the last time I checked, like something like 55, 56% of our listeners are on Apple Podcasts. So if you've got an iOS, you've got an iPhone, iPad, if you've got an Apple TV, you can pull us up on podcasts and just search Red Dirt D&D. Usually get by Red Dirt. It usually comes and fills in the rest. And on Spotify, you can pull it up and it has just the entire list, and you can just hit one right after the other if you want. And it's real easy. If you want to just jump right into the latest episode, you can. Ash is real good at the very beginning of every episode to say, this is what happened last time. But since it's so short, I just say go to the pilot episode and check that out. If you don't know yet, we have our trailer on that is pinned to our Twitter and our Facebook. It's a minute and a half. Listen to it. If it's something you enjoy, then go ahead and listen to our pilot or whatever. But, you know, we make it real easy for people to know about us before they necessarily have to jump right in. We want to let people know as much as they can. And really, it's just a story about four adventurers in a fantasy Wild West setting that has, you know, again, it's always, I put it before, it's elves and orcs colliding with sheriffs and saloons. And if you enjoy great storytelling, I think it's a fun place to be.
Awesome. I agree with that 100%. And if people are interested in just general geekiness in the state of Oklahoma, your other podcast, Okey Geek Podcast, which I think you branded everywhere as well.
Yes. Oh, yes. And I was, again, also surprised that Okey Geek was not taken. Okey Geek Podcast at gmail.com. Had to think about. Oh, and also reddirtdnd@gmail.com. So certainly send us an email. Please let us know, because we'd love to hear from people. But Okey Geek Podcast, Twitter, Facebook. I have been sadly a little lax because my Okey Geek had evolved into me doing stories on events, geeky events, conventions, the Star Trek convention coming up, the SoonerCon, TokenCon, all these conventions. And that's really what it had been about. And that all stopped.
Yeah,
so no. I've done a couple of episodes recently, but for the most part, I've also kind of had to put that one on a break because it was about geeky events in Oklahoma. And unfortunately, right now, all events have been put on hold, and that's not good for anybody.
Yeah, it's hard to find them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%. Well, Michael, we want to thank you for coming on the show. You've been a blast again, and we really love what you're doing. And again, if people are interested, they can find that at Red Dirt D&D or Okey Geek Podcast.
Michael, you need a sign on the door that says, no sword, no shield, no dice.
Let's see, there you go. Yes.
Well, thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
The thing that I love about Michael Cross is he is true to his nature. He is a geek, and he's proud of it, and he expresses it in all aspects of his life.
Okay, so I don't know that he knew we would be able to see him on video or not, and maybe this was a kind of a, I don't know, a sell, but he's wearing a D&D shirt. You notice that?
I own that D&D shirt.
I think a lot of people that shop at Kohl's do.
I don't think it fits me anymore. Mine was the OG.
Oh, the not...
And his probably is, too. I don't know.
Yours was the before... What is it? Phase 5 or whatever it is? Fifth edition. But I'm sorry. I'm learning, man. Okay? I'm learning.
The sad look on my face... There's no way that it made its way through.
I drained your life force.
To the audio. I have a great idea for merchandise for him, by the way.
What?
They should do character sheets for their characters with on their, a t-shirt.
With all their attributes on. Yeah. See, attributes, I know that.
Stats.
I'm sorry. Attributes are... Is that magic that does the attributes?
I have no idea.
You should know this, man.
No, I shouldn't.
You're geek chic, and I'm over here just geek gleek.
No, you know? I know D&D. That doesn't mean that I'm an expert in role-playing games by any stretch of the imagination.
But I promise you there is many people on my side about the 80s. I think a lot of the kids that we were our arcade generation. You know what I mean? Video games were really starting to... They kind of peaked for a little bit and flattened the curve flattened out, and then it came back again in the mid 80s. So I just never caught the wave. But I think of a lot of it too was culturally, it was unacceptable. You know what I mean? And when you look back on it, you go, how is that unacceptable? Now it's so popular with Stranger Things and, you know, it's fun to play with Ouija boards now. Milton Bradley made a Ouija board. I don't know if a lot of people know that or not.
It was part of the times, and I get that. Mm-hmm. And I know that there was a huge percentage of parents out there who were terrified of this because it always happened in basements or in the back of the garage. And it started late at night and didn't end until the middle of the night.
Right.
So it was just weird.
Right. And a bunch of kids downstairs going, you know, talking in weird voices and casting spells on each other.
Right. So
it sounds bad. It just sounds bad.
But what they've done with this and the ties to Oklahoma, or at least the feel of Oklahoma for the story itself, I'm super impressed.
It kind of, in a way, and it's going to be a bad comparison, but having it kind of with that red dirt twist reminds me kind of Cowboys and Aliens a little bit, where those two worlds collide.
No, but I think that is 100% the intention. It's like the movie Wild Wild West.
With Will Smith and the other guy.
It's a mashup.
Yeah, it is.
And I think they're doing an exceptional job. If you like stories, if you like audio dramas, you've got to give it a chance.
Yeah, if you like audio dramas, you like role-playing games, if you like that world, and honestly, there's been a progression through their you know, almost how many episodes now? I mean, they've gotten better. They get better. They're getting. It's you're progressing with them as they progress through this world. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great concept. I think you should at least give it a chance. It again is Red Dirt D&D. It's D-N-D, not D ampersand D.
And you're guaranteed not to summon a Demogorgon. Unless you're looking to summon a Demogorgon, and then probably it's part of the game, right?
I think he has to roll up a character.
You have to. I'm learning that too. You have to roll up a character. I thought it was a 30 side die. It's a D20 to be more specific. I'm learning those. Well, if you want to roll up, what is it? What's a good rollout? What's a good come out roll?
I have no idea. Like that,
if you want to level up your podcast game, if your integrity is low, is it integrity? No, it's what is it? Intention? What is it? Help me. What is the thing where you roll in the initiative? If your initiative is low, try the Only Okay podcast. Give us a roll, seriously. If you're keeping score, we're doing pretty good right now.
This has been the Only an Okay Show. I'm Harley.
And I am a level 1 bard elf.
And we're out of here.
Peace.
really want to play a druid. Is there any way? And then they're like, okay, well, your druid is really a ranger, half whatever. See? And then you just, like, make up your character.
How does a guy like me?
The right. Dungeon Master's already is done the all
vessel.
Of this.
That is, the game is the vessel.
It's
you are merely
by,
you.
It's steered by. So, like, did you play Skyrim?
I dabbled in it.
Okay, so if you're playing Skyrim, you got to understand, it's exactly the same game.
Right.
Some of the rules are a little bit different, but, you know, if you sign up with the werewolf clan,
yeah,
that may preclude you from joining the vampire storyline.
Well, yeah.
So the dungeon master, mm-hmm. the game is already... The dungeon master's made all of his decisions, and now you're just going A, B, or C.
Oh, okay.
A, B, or C.
You're choosing your own destiny, basically.
Right.
Okay.
But it's done with a piece of paper and mm-hmm. words
yeah.
instead mm-hmm. of video and animation.
Red pill, blue pill.
Right.
Kind of sit. Oh, okay. In a world of 20-side die. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that.
Once upon a time. Yes. None shall pass.
None shall pass. It's almost a little Bane-ish, like... Who wants to roll the dice now? Okay.
What do you think, Mr. Wayne?
Mr. Wayne. Well, I need to work on rolling some serious initiative. I'm a level one podcaster. Harley is a stickler for editing. I'm just telling you right now. 3, 2, 1.